I'm joined by the filmmaker Christopher Bobin, who's just come back from Turkish-Syrian border. After watching so much grainy YouTube video, your films are very poignant. What was the atmosphere like there?
During my time along the border, it was certainly a fascinating time and a little overwhelming, to be honest, because there's just so many stories to try to cover and pin down and follow. So I really had to be diligent and take my time and really follow certain people and spend time with them to get close to them to be allowed the access that I did and the access that you see in the films, because my goal was, as you say, to not create pieces that were the grainy YouTube videos, but really attempt a more documentary approach. So as I say, it was a daunting task, but with the weeks that I spent there, I slowly gained the access that I needed and was able to calmly make films that and reports that I think stand out a little bit differently from what's normally being shown on YouTube.
Tell me about the funeral that you filmed in Hatay. Why were the rebels taken across the border in the first place?
Well, yes, I mean, that was in that particular day, I was at one of the refugee camps and was actually about to leave, having covered what I thought was important for the day, when one of the refugees said, "By the way, you should probably stay for the rest of the day, because in 5 or 6 hours, 5 bodies of Free Syrian Army soldiers are going to be brought over the border and buried tonight before sundown, so that they can be near their families." So actually, these soldiers' families were refugees in the camp, so the bodies were being brought back so they could be buried next to their families and their parents and siblings, even though they were going to be buried in Turkish soil.
It was very striking watching the kids playing at soldiers in the cemetery. Did you get a sense that they were playing out for you? Or?
No, that's actually what they were doing. In fact, at that moment, there were speeches that were being made a little further away in the cemetery, and I overheard the children playing in the back, and I decided to leave the speeches that were going on and to film the kids, because I actually found that much more interesting. So I was just on a little hilltop in the cemetery alone with these children, and they were just playing as they were when I found them. And I was up there with them for probably about 10 minutes, completely alone, before, as you see in the video, one of the children began talking to me, and then right behind him, the caravan with the bodies arrived at the cemetery. So that's pretty much as it's shown in the film. That's exactly as it unfolded before me, and I was completely alone up there with them.
How sectarian did you find the refugees there?
I would say it was a mix. I mean, they obviously a religious event, so a lot of what was being said in that regards was heavy. It was, you know, heavily religious, but I would say there was a fair, you know, definitely sectarian overtones, if you want to put it that way. I mean, it was certainly, regardless of the religious aspects, as you see in the film, the concentration is, from what people are saying, is on the politics. It's on the war itself. So despite all the ceremony, that's what's being overheard, and that's what people are concentrating on.
You've also spoke to a lot of refugees. What was the sort of main message from them?
Definitely the overriding message is that they've given up all hope, certainly, of any kind of assistance from the outside, from the West. They know that they're completely on their own, and they feel that the situation they're in, which is to say being refugees, has largely come about because the rest of the world has abandoned Syria and their cause, as they see it. And certainly there's I would say, unfortunately, a growing resentment towards the Turkish hosts in Hatay, oddly enough, and which is why in one of the videos many people have just chosen to not stay in the camps and are now living outside of the tents and the fences and are doing their best wherever they can, whether it's an abandoned home or quickly put together communal housing in a small rural Turkish village, because they prefer that to the camps. I would say the camps are relatively well run from what I saw, but of course they do only offer a limited lifestyle, let's say, and therefore it's estimated to be an equal number of Syrian refugees in Turkey are now living outside the camps.
These are sort of wonderfully crafted films and beautifully shot. They're slightly different from a sort of news reporting, less raw. What do you hope to do with this footage?
I think it's important to provide that form of reportage because I think it allows a bit more understanding. I think because those films are crafted over time, slowly, both in terms of their editing and understanding the content, but also in terms of slowly gaining access with individuals and with families and with communities. And it's that access that allows certain visuals to be made, perhaps higher quality visuals. But in turn, that access allows for a better understanding, and therefore, even in a 3 to 5 minute clip, hopefully, a concise but well-informed and rich piece of documentary reportage that may not just stand out for any visuals, but actually stands out because of its content and what it can offer the viewer in terms of information.
So the fact that it's sort of more than 2 months old now doesn't matter so much because it's more reflective.
Exactly. I think that the fact that that comes from early August is almost irrelevant because it's still testimony to a very real situation that is still playing out today. And because of it's a documentary in its approach, it is meant to portray a piece of time and meant to be appropriate to watch and relevant to watch at any time as a document of a historical event that was going on. So not breaking news, but a calm, sober document of an event that took place and will therefore always be important to watch and to understand whether it's in the week that it happened, 2 months later, or 2 years down the road, to understand exactly what the conditions and the zeitgeist, if you want to say, along the Turkish-Syrian border was at that time and why.
Any plans to go back there?
Yeah, definitely. I will definitely be going back. I'll be going back to the border probably before Christmas, and I would like to continue my work with refugees, but probably going to Lebanon this time. So I would start in Turkey and then make my way to Lebanon to begin to understand the different situations, but all arising from the same conflict, and how Syrians are being treated in the region, not just in Turkey. So that's the plan for the next few months.
Okay, Chris, good luck with that, and let us know how you get on. Thanks.
Thank you very much.